SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back at the races, about 15 into hour three, and terrific visit. That's a topic, the Ridgeling topic, that is always worth having the discussion, and you know, because I think people, you know, they wonder. I mean, the decision making process and how, you know, worthwhile it is. And of course, it was a couple of years ago that I always reference Wayne Lucas's comment saying, you know, if it was up to him, he thinks that 9 out of 10, you know, should be gelded right away, and you know, gives you the best chance to, you know, maximize, you know, your horse's potential. But you know, everybody's hoping that they're going to get a stallion. Well, everybody also hopes that they're going to get a champion filly or a champion mare. And boy, the last couple of years, having a Pennsylvania bred filly or mare is a good formula, because Shamrock Rose and Unique Bella, both Unique Bella now, you know, two-time champion, and Brian Sampertello joins us. Brian, congratulations to everybody in Pennsylvania. What a great result.
Yeah, thanks Steve, and good to be on with you again today. Unbelievable. We had Shamrock Rose, bred by Best of Luck Farm, Tommy and his wife, Lori Fackler, down a little bit above Ocala. He's a great guy. In fact, he breaks some horses for me. This is the second grade one winner. And the sprint, I mean, she came from out of it to just get up in time to win. And the Eclipse Award that she won for female sprinter was the third award in consecutive years for PA breds. We had Unique Bella win it last year in the female sprinter category, and we had Finest City win it in 2016. So 3 years in a row for PA breds, showing the you know, the quality of them. And Unique Bella did it again, two years in a row, sprinter last year, and dirt female this year. But again, just you know, showing you that the you know, PA breds not only can compete in Pennsylvania, but they compete anywhere in the world.
It's funny, just inadvertently, even before I made the connection, we were talking with Sid Fernando during our Sire Watch Pedigree Focus conversation, brought by Hill and Dale, and Hill and Dale's Army Mule came up, and there's, you know, there's another one that you know, another Pennsylvania bred on the stallion side, you know, and you know, we're having these discussions regularly, you know, Brian, and there's obviously the benefit when it comes to the racing side, but what's and the racing program and the stakes program and all that. But what this does and what it should do, you would think in people's minds, is make them feel good about. You bring up the farms and where these, you know, where these horses were raised. That's a big part of it, and you know, one of the things that for many years I think there were concerns by people, you know, buying horses, that, you know, the outlying areas, the regional programs, that you didn't have the same, you know, level of care and level of expertise from on every level. And getting multiple champions like this, frankly, you know, really speaks to that, and it shows that, you know, the breeders and the personnel involved, they're on a par with the Kentucky and Florida, you know, and the biggest, you know, the biggest, most populous breeding grounds in the country.
Absolutely. We have some fantastic farms here in Pennsylvania. You have Northview, PA. You have Diamond Bee Farm. You have Blackstone, who sells quite a few weanlings and yearlings for fantastic money, along with racing some on their own. The quality of the farms has really emerged in Pennsylvania. And the stallions that are here in Pennsylvania. Last year we brought in about 9 or 10 new stallions. I mean, we have a Pioneering of the Nile, a Medallia d'Oro, Not for Love, Any Given Saturday, a Tappet, a Spikestown, Looking at Lucky, a Colonel John. So people from anywhere, really can take a look at the stallions here, along with our regular stallions that have done very well, like your Jumpstart and Uptown Charlie Brown, and a few others. I know I'm going to wind up forgetting something. Somebody's going to call me after and say, "How come you didn't mention me?"
Yeah. No, I can understand that. They can see the entire roster at PABred.com, and Smarty Jones deserves a mention. He's back in Pennsylvania, of course, and I talk each time that this comes up, the options available, whether it's the stallion, opportunity new to Pennsylvania this year, and he deserves a big look and a absolute expectation that you want to talk about durability and a horse that danced all the dances, opportunity. You mentioned he's the Any Given Saturday name that, that's the best son, of course, of Any Given Saturday. But whether it's a stallion program or whether it's just any kind of horse that you're looking to raise, you've got the option in that region, getting Delaware certified, getting Virginia certified, and adding to your, adding to the Breeders Award programs that are out there, and it's really lucrative. I mean, this is the Mid-Atlantic. We had Alan Foreman the other day when the relaunch for the next year of the Match Series, Brian, and of course Parks and Penn will be sites of two of the days. There's so much going on in the Mid-Atlantic and Pennsylvania, literally the Keystone.
Correct, and also quite a few of the breeders' organizations are involved in that Match Series too. We're giving bonuses to the top point getter, both male and female. So again, another push for the Mid-Atlantic region. When you look at also graded stake standings. For 2018, I mean, we were only beat by two states in graded wins. Kentucky, of course, Florida came in second, and we came in third.
Wow!
I didn't realize that. Some of the big, some of the big states that you would think would be in front of us. So, the program basically exploded about a year or two ago. Most people are aware of it now, the Racehorse Development Fund was put in a trust. So that money can basically only be used for breeding and racing. That and the increase in the breeder awards to 50% for maidens and 40% for all, for all other races. You can't get that anywhere. Looking at the program, I don't know, where you would breed other than Pennsylvania. Also, there was a great article out in the Blood Horse about a week or two ago with Hank Notoff, who is the breeder of Finest City, one of our Eclipse Award winners in 2016. Now, there's a guy that, you know, pretty much could breed wherever he wanted to. And, you know, he started in the California area. And, you know, once that Racehorse Development Fund was put in a trust and he looked at the program, all his mares now are in Pennsylvania. So, you know, they're the kind of people that we've been preaching to over the past few years. So, again, you know, the program's doing very well. And, you know, we just we think that 2019 is going to be a stellar year for us.
Well, and I'm just looking at you know, some of the other names. And it's funny because just this week, a couple of these came up, including Mark Reed's Please Flatter Me. Right. Looking forward to, you know, to her return. Our friend Gary Young bought Call Paul, and he won the Pennsylvania Nursery, West Coast based. Fahan Mora, she participated in, of course, in the breeders in the Pegasus Turf race the other day, and you know, on and on. Any number at every division, male, female, short, long. Turf, dirt. You know, you brought up the Uptown Charlie Brown story, which is really quite interesting, and how with a really very few mares has been hyper productive. It's pretty astounding what's gone on.
Hey, that's an unbelievable story. I mean, he moves his mares up more than almost any other stallion, including Kentucky. Bob Hutt, who is in charge of that Uptown Charlie Brown stud conglomerate that they have, does a great job in promotion. I mean, basically, they told him, "No, you don't want to breed that horse. You know, get rid of the horse." And he hung in there, and he's throwing some runners. And like you said, there's, you know, he doesn't have a whole lot. Last year, I think he bred about 50, which was quite an uptick from the year before. And this year, I think it'll probably be more than that. So people are starting to, you know, to ask me about that, you know, about that horse. Again, great story for Pennsylvania, great story for the Uptown Charlie Brown stud.
You know, he's standing for 4,500, and I'm just pulling up the number. He's a Limehouse. If you've forgotten, you know who got him originally. Dixie Serenade, the Victory Ride winner,
right? Grade 3 winner, right?
Yeah, and Midtown Charlie Brown, who won the Fabulous Strike at Penn on the big on that big stake card. Both of those from last year, and you know, just looking at the progeny. At the progeny numbers, I'll bring him up with Sid Fernando, and I'm curious what Sid's thoughts are, because we were talking about stallions like this. I mean, and here's his standings. He was among the third crop stallions nationwide. He was number 30, and that was with 16 runners, 11 winners, 2 stake winners. And 1 graded stake winner. That's an unbelievable, just under $1 million in earnings from 16 runners. That's a heady result. And his first crop, or his second crop, I guess it would have been, in 2017, he had 9 runners, 7 winners.
Right. Seems like everything he breeds wins.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah. He was a nice horse himself. He was a nice racehorse mm-hmm. himself, Uptown Charlie.
Absolutely. We had another nice horse run the other day, won the Ruthless Ujjayi, a smarty.
Oh, that's a nice story. I read in TDN, in fact, Jessica Martini wrote about the breeder.
Right. T.L. Wise, right?
Yes. He's got 1 mare, and it's his first stake win. And actually, Erin McLaughlin, we should mention as well as part of this story. not McLaughlin, McClellan, Erin McClellan. She's Penn National based.
Right. Yep, and you had Tyler Connor on her. He came back recently. I think he was out in California for a little while, or out in the that area for a little while. So he came back to ride her, and she ran a great race. So we'll keep our eyes on her also. But, you know, like you said, you know, you'll see PA Breds in almost every category.
Well, it feels like another special year in the books, and Shamrock Rose back didn't run great the other day, and was kind of up against it on that racetrack, frankly. But congratulate the Conrads in Canada, the real special for them, and Unique Bella follows up, and she's off to her stud career as a broodmare, and we'll watch for the next one. And Brian, as always, appreciate the visit, appreciate the support.
Thank you. Did you get your petition to sign to reverse the Eagles Dallas game for that fumble that was missed?
This is from the Saints school of reaction to bad officiating.
We figured if the Saints could do it, we could do it.
That was one of the crazier suggestions I've ever seen. Well, listen, we've got races that get appealed, right? And sometimes go to the court for that. We're just going to wait it out and regroup for next year. You know, I want to direct people to the website pabred.com. Everything you need is right there, and you can find the roster and everybody at the Pennsylvania Horse Breeders are ready to help you get in business, and we cannot recommend it highly enough. And Brian, I appreciate it as always.
No, thank you. It was great being on again.
Absolutely. Brian Zanfratello, Brighter Farm on Twitter to follow Brian, and the PA Breds as well on their Twitter feed. We'll take a break here, a little past the bottom of the hour. I'm going to check in with Seth Merrow. There's a bit of a interesting story. I don't know how much Seth has had a chance to talk overnight with Capital OTB Management, John Signer in particular. But the story emerged out of Governor Cuomo's budget, the opportunity for some of the OTBs in New York to sort of refashion their business, and it may create a scenario where there's some absorption. There may be some morphing of the OTB system throughout New York, and of course, Capital, you know, really probably in the position to expand under that auspice. We'll see if you saw this, but I don't know how much Seth knows, but we'll talk to him next. We'll do a little handicapping as well. We'll get his Pegasus thoughts. He went down there and was doing some cutaway visits, and he talked to some owners and talked a little bit of everybody. It looked like Seth had a great time down at Pegasus. I don't think he was there for Eclipse. I don't think he got there on Friday. Seth Merrow next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
There are places where being who you are is a punishable offense. These places have many names, but the ones who flee have one. Refugee. And it is in the name of the refugee that Hyas has dedicated itself for the last 130 years. Created in the name of the Jewish people, 4.5 million rescued and resettled so far. When they said, "Give us your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free," we were the ones at the docks helping them breathe free. Only now it's a farmer from Darfur, a shop owner from Syria, a family from Ukraine, a child from Colombia, a Christian from Iran, a gay man from Uganda. The 65 million souls who still wander the earth in search of sanctuary. Why? Maybe it's because being Jewish means you don't have to be reminded never to forget. Hias, for the refugee.
Visit HIAS.org to understand the mission and support the work of Hias.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BridgeNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BridgeNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BridgeNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year, and is available at BridgeNet.com/APR. The BridgeNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BridgeNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BridgeNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
I'm a troubleman.
We're back at the races, 20 minutes to noon. What's going to be a quiet race day? I don't know if Seth's doing some TV later, but he'll be focusing on Gulfstream and Tampa because there's really nothing else. Seth, good morning.
Good morning. No TV today. I took a look at the rainbow at Gulfstream, though, because that carryover's gotten big enough where every day it's just at least take a look. But, yeah, no TV today. Jump in tomorrow. But Aqueduct is already canceled for tomorrow because for folks who aren't in the north, well, I was going to say for folks who aren't in the northeast, I would alert, but I think if anybody's watched the national weather over the last day and a half, they realize what happened in the upper Midwest is kind of blowing through the east today and tomorrow.
Yeah, and it's predictable. I saw that Charlestown now canceling for Thursday as well. Eric Zimney let that out the other a couple hours ago, I saw, and that's, you know, we've gotten used to this, and it really has. It's funny, Seth, it really has changed compared to years ago. I mean, how much more cognizant I think the organizations are of endangering, you know, both the horses and the humans involved in this, because I mean, really, it's only in the last 10 years, it seems, that these have become, you know, so automatic, right? And the heat warnings, too. The heat the same way.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, the heat, definitely. I don't ever really remember that happening. But the cold weather, you know, it's anecdotal, but I think it's true. I say it's anecdotal because I can't say for certain. But it seems like, particularly when the inner track first went in at Aqueduct, and, you know, I was in the game when that appeared, and so I've been kind of through winter racing in New York, and I don't remember the kind of cancellations back in the day, back in that day, that we have now. But as you said, I think people are just more cognizant. With the kind of weather, you get to a certain temperature, and people have to remember, it's not just the temperature itself. It's an automatic wind chill of a horse going 30 or 40 miles an hour and the jockey sitting on the back with as much coverage as they can get to kind of stay within the weight requirements. So it makes sense. The cold, aqueducts canceled a couple of times because of high wind. That seems to have a dangerous implication as well. And then there are some days where I think people might look at the weather and kind of scratch their heads. And those are days where you get that freeze-thaw kind of a situation where the weather kind of vacillates over a couple of days or overnight. And so the weather may not be precipitation, and the temperature may seem moderate, but you get that freeze-thaw, and it just affects the track.
Yeah, and knock on wood, so far there we seemingly came close. I guess in Philly there was the one cancellation that they say it coincided with New York, but they say that in Philly it actually was a racetrack issue as opposed to, you know, just the ambient conditions. And it, obviously, Aqueduct is more susceptible to the wind issue than most places, just because, you know, right there on Jamaica Bay, you're going to be open to it. So, honestly, in some ways it's a positive, because in the aftermath of these cancellations, you end up enhancing the cards that follow. You end up with nicer fields. So, you know what? Big deal. I don't see it as a, you know, I don't see it as a hardship by any stretch. Speaking of weather, let me get your Pegasus response. You were down there. I saw some of the cutaways, and then Tina and I, we went down to Binghamton, and we had dinner Saturday night at Tony's Italian Grill in Endicott. One of our partners at DT, Dr. Miller, fabulous place in Binghamton. So we were listening to you and watching you on the feed and on the drive down 88.
I appreciate that. It was fun. It's always fun. They treat us well down there. Dave Joseph and Tim Rithbo got a nice interview with Tim Rithbo. In fact, as we were doing the morning show, and he buzzed by, and I couldn't catch him then. But in the afternoon, he came by again, and so I kind of hauled him over and recorded a little interview. And we were doing the audio cutaways, and that's a little bit of a different situation in that I have a little handheld audio recorder and just kind of run around during the afternoon and try to get some interviews, which is actually a lot of fun, and it's a little more timely than maybe some of the TV stuff that we do with cutaways. But, you know, I was in the winner's circle after World of Trouble and talked to Sal Kumin and Michael Dove and ran down Chad Brown and Todd Fletcher over by the paddock area at a couple of points during the afternoon. So it was fun, and the cut-ins were good, and the racing was fabulous, obviously. But as you mentioned, the weather, we did the live morning show at 9 o'clock, and we're on the second floor overlooking the paddock. And for folks who are familiar with Gulfstream, we're just outside of 10 Palms. And it was cold Saturday morning, because there was a little rain coming down, and then the wind kicked up. And it was chilly on Saturday. Not Albany chilly, but it was certainly Florida chilly. But it kind of moderated, and the rain let up. And really throughout the afternoon, it held like that. It was, the temperature was, again, not what you really want for Florida, sunny and warm. It was overcast and a little bit chilly, but still it was comfortable enough to have a good day at the races. And as the day progressed, the crowd kind of filed in. And then unfortunately, really, kind of paddock time moving out onto the racetrack, that's when that rain really came for the big race, the Pegasus. But it turned out to be a spectacular race. I mean, it played out the way you wanted it to. They turned for home. The two big horses were right there. And it was raining, but still, the whole apron was packed with people. So people were there to see the race. They got the race they wanted to see. So it really was a nice day down at Gulfstream, despite the weather kind of not cooperating.
Well, it impacted things. The numbers were well off their numbers from last year, and that I did actually see that on a per horse basis, the numbers were, I think, were even up if you divided it by the number of horses on the card. But it's become, you know, it's become a top 10 handle day, you know, 40 in the 40 million range, and that, you know, that puts it, you know, right in there with Florida Derby and you know, some of the, you know, some, anytime you're over 20 million, 20 to 50 million, are the big days. You know, they're obviously not you know, going to rival Triple Crown days and Breeders' Cup days, you know, that that are three-figure days. But it's become a big success, and they did table their forced distribution of the jackpot. Santa Anita has got their force out on Saturday.
Yeah, they announced down at Gulfstream, what, a couple days before, in anticipation of the weather, that they were going to cancel that, which, you know, given that weather situation, was probably fair the betters, but it certainly wasn't going to help them.
It's not fair to the bettors. What they're doing by that is basically, you know, they're concerned that their 12 or 14 horse fields for turf races are going to be dropped down to six. That's why they do that. I mean, the better is not a. Not high on the consideration list at that joint. I'm sorry.
I won't disagree with your take, but in the end, it helps. You know, you don't want to be handicapping into that kind of a card, you know, with off tracks and off the turf races.
I totally agree.
I've said it before, these mandatory days, when they stick in the completely crazy races, to me, that's a mistake. I always say that the mandatory
not right.
days, I'd rather see a huge amount of people come up with $800 or $1,200 than 300.
Exactly.
But then three people walk away with, you know, $250,000 each.
Yep. It's exactly right. The people that, you know, bet into it should be able to, you know, put together reasonable tickets that, you know, that have a real chance, not to basically, you know, be absolutely have no chance from the time they drew the card with, you know, 12 by 12 by 11 by 14 by 12 by 12. Get out of here with that. I mean, it's ridiculous. So let me ask you a question. I do want to talk about that Gulfstream 7th today. Did you did a little handicapping?
I did. I looked at the Rainbow Gulfstream.
All right. Well, we'll do that in a second. And I foreshadowed that you probably don't have the ins and outs, and maybe I'll get a hold of tomorrow of John Signer. This story that emerged yesterday out of Albany, the state budget, and basically opening the doors, it seems, for, you know, the OTB system to be overhauled. Yes.
Yeah, I really only know what I've read because I haven't been in the office, and I'm not sure, you know, how this circulated through when the bill came out, because I kind of haven't been in the office. Is really going back a week. Well, I've been in the TV studio, but not the office side for, I don't know, a week and a half or so, because I was kind of getting ready for the Florida trip. But since getting back from Florida on Sunday, I haven't been in at all. So this story, when it came out within, what, the last 24 hours or so, I just know what I've read, and it's certainly interesting and certainly plays into what we've seen in the racing industry and other jurisdictions over the past few years. I would particularly point to Florida and the dog track situation down there, where they got some expanded gambling, and eventually some of them dropped the dog racing, and I guess they're talking somewhat similar situation for OTBs in New York, because some of the OTB outlets, and for folks who don't know, there's five or six of them in New York, and some of them have slot machines or VLTs, and so the legislation supposedly is going to allow them to let go of racing, which, as you alluded to before you brought me on, has the potential to benefit Capital OTB, who doesn't have the slot machines and could pick up some of that other business. And we're profitable as compared to some of these other OTB outlets in the state not being profitable. So we could pull some of those in, and we concentrate more on horse racing because we have to, obviously, without the slot machine. So we'll see how it plays out. It'll be interesting, though. And I wonder if it will play out more directly when the sports betting thing shakes out a little more, because I would think that would play into it, too.
Well, the other question also that is going to bubble to the surface here is where things are going to stand regarding the, you know, the defunct New York City OTB system. Now, NYRA, it does have the opportunity. They've got the right to open I believe, three per borough, upscale style OTB centers, and they have not acted on that. And they've had it on the back burner for an extended period. But I mean, since the incredible ineptitude involved in New York City OTB and their ultimate closure, there's no place to bet in the five boroughs, which is ridiculous, of course. So that question is opened up with this as well, Seth. So anyway, we'll follow this. It's an interesting story, and it could, very, very soon, it could be Capital OTB, could be a statewide monolith.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, we have the TV station, obviously, which certainly nobody else in the state has, and that's a bonus, and that shows the commitment that John Signor, the president, and the board has to horse racing. Obviously, we're on the backstretch every day up at Saratoga, and people appreciate that. So it'll be interesting to see how it shakes out. Again, John Signor was quoted in the TDN article, and obviously he is far, far more well-versed than I am on the subject.
Well, and of course, this could be an incredible turn of events for the Seth Merrow brand. We want to be in the Seth Merrow business. That's what you want to do. You want to be in the Seth Merrow business.
Well, we'll see. Maybe something will go my way.
What are we doing in the seventh race? I talked about this open the show.
You just jabbed me. I want to jab you now for 1 second, because you left out the best part of the Home Depot delivery story. You're doing the repair. You're gonna be the handyman.
Well, there's not much to do. We just gotta put the washing machine on top of the pedestal. It's a pedestal. It's one of those things, to lift the machine on the Let me tell you something, Jocko. You can put a number of tools in my hand, and I will. I can fix, especially electrical. I'm very good with the electrical.
All right. Okay. Good to know.
in case I got to help the boys in the trailer this summer at Saratoga.
That is good to know.
There you go. All right, what are we doing in the seventh? Because I thought this was a really crazy race with some nice horses that should have already broken their maiden.
Yeah, and I was looking at a potential rainbow ticket, and this was a race that this would be the race where I would go deepest and to keep my ticket, budget. I have four in here, but I agree. I could make a case for every horse in this field. I had a 2, 1, 3, and 5. I put Rhode Island on top, just off the numbers this horse has fired for Shug so far, particularly that last one, the buyer number. Argon, the Jimmy Bond horse, has some back numbers that are pretty good. Repair the World seems to be maybe moving in the right direction, albeit seemed to be, let me put it that way, earlier last year. Now a comeback from a March layoff for Brian Lynch, but that workout on the 19th, I had circled, so seems that the horse probably comes back on its toes. And Battle of Memphis, in only the second career start of a pretty good looking debut for Mark Cassie, attracted my attention as well. But as I say, the live oak from Mark Cassie, number 8, Super Riptide, has a lot of potential, I think. I could have made the argument there. Bernardino, I think in the second career start, has license to improve. It's a tough race, but I took it 2, 1, 3, and 5.
If you're looking, and those are the top, those are the obvious ones. Silver Shield intrigues me off the the little layoff and getting back on the turf, because those races at Kentucky Downs and Keeneland, those were good efforts.
Yeah.
And I know that it, you're looking at a 5-year-old in here, and a late, but this is son of Dream Supreme. There's some talent here, and whatever was you know, delaying the debut, and there was trouble between 3 and 4. And it does feel, though, that, you know, a steady work tab since December. Really didn't take any time off after that off-the-turf race in November. I think that's your price. Silver Shield, the 6. We talked to Graham Motion yesterday. He thinks Trinity is going to need a race to get into shape. So he said, you know, you might want to, I think, wait and give Trinity one. But 12-1, play with Silver Shield.
Yeah, as I say, I could make a case for the 6. Entire field. The price I threw in was Repair the World.
Well, that would be the 3 with Paco and Brian Lynch. And it's hard to believe that neither one of us, given our the fact we like to talk about, we left out Abe Froman, the Sausage King of Chicago.
You can't use them all.
Abe Froman from Ferris Bueller.
Yeah.
All right.
Catherine Dave Phillips. I'm sure those are the owners that are always using the SCTV references.
Look at you, putting those dots together.
Yes. And now
that's
I can't think, they had the big one a couple of years ago. Guy Caballero.
Yes.
From SCTV.
Yes. The Fitzhenry.
So I'm sure
good
that's
job.
Gotta be the same. That's got to be the same group.
Well done.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we won't see you on television, so we will look forward to later in the week from you. And we'll talk next week. Of course, you'll be in Vegas with us, too.
Yeah, looking forward to it. That should be fun.
When are you getting there?
Thursday.
All right. I'll be there Wednesday, so I'll be start broadcasting Thursday. And we're going to have a lot of fun. You're going
to
really enjoy
it. Warm up the seat.
There you go. Seth Merrow, everybody. Capital OTB, Equidaily.com. And Brian Sanfratello, Pennsylvania Thoroughbred Horse Breeders. Dr. Stephen Allday, Horse Health Today, brought to you by Luberson Reborn. Sid Fernando, Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, presented by Hill and Dale. And Pete Fornitzel. Everybody's going to Vegas. 2 out of 5 guests will be in Vegas. Good luck if you're playing today. I'm going to play that 6 horse. Silver Shield, Norm Cassie. Good luck today. HRN coverage, 3 o'clock. They'll be very focused on Gulfstream and Tampa because there's nothing else. At least during the afternoon. Talk to you in the morning, everybody. Thanks.
Racing news.
It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use ExpressFund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest-growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare?
The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.